ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Failing Better, your favourite podcast, and also James Bond's favourite podcast, I've heard. I'm Sean McLaughlin.
I'm Johnny Pelham.
And together, we are still
Failing Better.
Great stuff.
God
How you
bless.
Been, Johnny?
I've been very well. How have you been?
Fine. Been fine. Went swimming.
Podcast done.
We have succeeded in our initial goal.
You went swimming?
I went swimming at 7 a.m. How do you like that?
Oh my God.
How do you like them apples?
Those are some incredible apples. How come you did that?
Because I was chased out of a boat. No, I...
sinking boat. That's so funny.
That's so funny.
That really made me laugh, because I really wasn't expecting you to say something funny then, but then you didn't.
Well, he's hoping that there's enough audience members at Edinburgh Fringe next month they can have a similar revelation.
So you went swimming at 7 a.m?
I went swimming at 7 a.m. Just to do it. There's a Lido near me.
Oh.
My wife has started going to the Lido, and I've started...
Following your wife there, saying,
I know there's something going on here.
No one goes to a Lido at 10 p.m.
So, yeah, going to the Lido, coming back, lipstick smudged. She can't even swim. So I went down there, and you know, it's really good, really great. I'm not a strong swimmer. And there's a lot of feathers in the water. So,
why are there feathers in the water? That doesn't sound
it's
healthy.
It's outdoor, isn't it? It's outdoor pool. So there's all birds.
And then ducks and birds.
Dead birds and shit.
God, that sounds awful. Why are you swimming with dead birds?
I think it's a Lido. It might be a might be a septic tank. But anyway, I've just been going down there, just sort of taking all my clothes off, getting in that nice, thick, brown water every morning.
It sounds nice and healthy. What I love, Sean, is, and this began with you saying I went for a swim at 7 a.m. for like the healthiest thing you could imagine doing. I was like, God, Sean's really got his life together. In the end, it emerged you're swimming in a cesspit with dead ducks.
Do keep those 5-star reviews coming, listeners, and thank you for the Patreons. What have you been up to, Johnny?
I haven't drank for 12 days now, and
really?
I'm feeling happier and quite well. Also, I sing now quite sporadically and quite badly.
Yeah, I'd say get on the old pints ASAP, please. How's it going? How are you finding it?
I'm really enjoying it, actually. I don't have any particular urge to drink, and things are good. I'm sort of... the thing is, when you stop drinking, you probably have less interesting anecdotes. Like, no one's went, oh my God, I had a wild... I'd started with a salad, and then things went crazier from there.
Mm.
So I'm maybe lacking a killer anecdote, but generally I'm pretty
I reckon Hitler had one like that. I reckon Hitler was good for that. Because he was a very healthy eater. So he probably had some crazy anecdotes like, I ate a salad and things really got big from there.
Yeah, a salad. And then
I invaded Poland.
Yeah. That's a apparently he was really into cocaine and stuff, Hitler.
Yeah, and amphetamines.
Yeah, yeah. Because that is a come down, isn't it? Where you're like, fucking hell.
Oh, what have I done?
I tell you what. That's, yeah, we've all had those nights out when you wake up next morning, you're like, fucking hell, what did I do last night? But that is a, that's a pretty bad one.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty bad one, Johnny.
I've annexed Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, are we being too nice to him? Implied that it was just a sort of drunken mistake? I think it was probably... Anyway, welcome to the pod. I don't know what we're talking about. Have you got any... Has anything happened to you in the last week? Any big news? Any stuff like that?
Any big news for John? Not really. I did a gig. I did a gig. It went well. I'm really enjoying it, Sean. It made me think, oh, I should give stand-up comedy a bit of a try.
Oh, what material did you talk about? What did you talk about stuff from the podcast? Are there any podcast fans there?
Not in the beginning, but by the end, they were all podcast fans. Because you know, sometimes they say you blew the roof off.
Yeah,
I fucking demolished that building. It was a listed building as well, so I got in a lot of problems with the council. But I told them. What I told Nelson Mandela, go fuck yourself. We don't need to go into what me and Mandela's personal beef.
Honestly, mate, how old were you when Mandela died? So what age are you when this is being said?
I don't know, how long ago did Mandela die?
All right, I'm looking this up. When did Mandela die? Oh, God. So can you go to a little bit of what the problem was with Mandela? 2013, so nine years ago. How old were you 9 years ago?
21. 22.
22. Yeah.
Well, look, mate, all I'm saying is Mandela is not a good driver. He's not a good driver, right? Yeah. Obviously, morally a good person, did a lot for South Africa. But what I'm saying is, if you smash into my Corsa, I'm going to give you some grief. I didn't realise it was him at the beginning. I just thought he was a bit of a dick who'd driven into my car. So I went, oh, you fucking mug. What are you doing in my car? And he went, I'm sorry.
Where did he go? I'm just fascinated to know.
He went, look, I'm sorry. I had a lot on my mind, you know, trying to build sort of peace in the world. And I said, that's no excuse. You got my wing mirror.
So at this point, you do know who he is. And no, you're still going, all guns blazing.
Yeah. I was furious. I mean, he's done in my wing mirror, hasn't he? He just hadn't looked. I mean, it's ridiculous, really. And so I was going, look, you look at my wing mirror. I said, Nelson, you mug. And he said... He said, look, I'm really sorry. Should we exchange insurance details? I said, I don't have insurance. I'm a scumbag. Fuck you, Mandela. And that was that was when I told Mandela to go fuck himself.
Well, it was a pleasure just sitting back and watching that story get gradually more incriminating.
But look,
keep in mind that you dug that hole for yourself, though, Johnny.
Yeah.
None of that needed to happen.
All I'll say, though, is in spite of what Mandela did to my Corsa, good bloke. I realise retrospectively I shouldn't have told him to go fuck himself because he's a good man.
And how much damage did he do to the old Corsa?
He absolutely wrote it off, the mad bastard.
He wrote it off.
Yeah. Well, that's neither.
So, wait, that sounds... sorry. It sounds like there's a very, very serious collision there. Yeah. So your Corsa was parked...
Yeah, I was just getting in. I was just having a happy Tuesday, getting in my Corsa, thinking, ooh, I'll go to a stand-up comedy gig. I was 22, young man, a lot of dreams, a lot of ambitions, a lot of hopes. Wasn't picturing about comedy. Got in my Corsa, about to say, oh, smash! It's fucking Mandela! He's done me in!
He's written off your car from a standing start. So was he drunk or something? Was he, like, on the... I don't know if the insurance companies go, I've just got so much, I've got to think about peace so much that I crashed into your car. Well, maybe you shouldn't be driving.
Well, I said that to him. I said, look, man, this is no excuse. You know, look, clearly what you did in South Africa is a wonderful thing. You should be proud of yourself. But those two things aren't linked to you. And you've written off a course of, and you should be a bit more bloody apologetic, mate. That's what I said to Nelson.
Yeah. And so what was he driving?
He was driving a Passat at the time.
Sorry, I'm just trying to. Whereabouts did this happen, by the way? Whereabouts did this?
It happened in Bradford.
Okay. Well, anyway, just want to thank all our new listeners. We've got a lot of new listeners We haven't had a couple of weeks. We don't really know how. We hope that you're still sticking around. This isn't representative of what the podcast always is, but unfortunately, it is like this more often than not.
Have you ever had any sort of instance of any famous sort of peace builders or just any sort of celebrity, really?
I've seen Barack Obama.
Where did you see him? On the television or in person?
No, he wrote off my car, actually. Came at it with a hammer.
Was he justifying those actions?
No, he wasn't. But I also saw him. This is a true story. I was working at the QET.
Can I just say, what do you mean this is a true story? They've all been true stories.
Yes. Well, this one is a true story. I was working at the QE2 Centre in central London.
Yeah. What is the QE2 Centre?
It's just a big conference centre opposite Westminster Abbey.
Oh, wow.
And I was like temping in, like setting up the food and stuff and the catering core.
Yeah, and bowling.
Pardon?
And bowling. Temping bowling.
And why are you saying that?
Because it sounds a bit like. Never mind.
What sounds like temping bowling? Oh, temping. All right, yeah. Yeah, yeah, sure. If that ends this section faster.
So you saw Obama.
And I saw Obama, yeah, because he was doing something at Westminster Abbey. And everyone in the conference ran and, like, looked out, and it was very exciting. This was the height of Obama mania. And there were snipers on all the roofs, so it was very exciting.
God, that must have been scary for Obama, having all those snipers pointing at him.
They weren't there for him, they were there for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They said, this temp is edgy. He's dangerous.
Well, you are edgy and dangerous, and that's why people love your comedy but hate your morals. I don't know what that means.
What's that come from?
I don't know what that means. I'm in quite a weird mood.
Yeah, I think maybe you need to start drinking again, Johnny. I hope you don't mind me saying.
I'm drinking water as we speak.
Yes. When are you going to keep drinking alcohol at any point, or are you going to be one of those people who just quit forever?
I'm definitely going to drink again. I think I just wanted like a week or two to sort of reset, and then I think I'll absolutely start pounding it. You know, it's quite soon.
What's the booze that you miss the most?
I love a rum. I've talked about rum quite a lot recently.
Shut up about rum.
Well, if you ask me what's my favourite drink and I respond, you can't then say why are you talking about rum.
Because your favourite drink is obviously beer. You love a beer. You're a boy. You're a big old boy.
I am a big boy. I'm a big boy who loves beer.
Yeah.
A pale ale. I love a pale. Can I have an ale? But can you make it a bit paler for me, please? That's
make
what I'm saying.
Make it a bit paler,
please, sir. Can I have a pale ale?
Is that what you say? Please, yeah. Sir. Can I have a pale ale?
And they say, I am a woman, and yes, you can.
Oh, anyway, thank you for the 5-star reviews of this podcast. If anyone wants to retract their 5-star reviews, we certainly wouldn't hold it against you.
But please don't. Please keep giving us them, and please keep supporting the podcast. We love doing it. We love your emailing us, and we love you. So, unless you're a nasty person, which goes, you know, stop listening to the pod.
He's summed it up there. You know, we don't want one of these nasty people like Nelson Mandela or someone like that. if you're enjoying what you're hearing and you would like to get more of it for money, now this is going to be see how this goes. We have got a Patreon, and we're so grateful for all the patrons. We've had a few more signups. It's really nice. You get extra content every week. You get exclusive access to cool, fun treats from us and lost episodes and stuff like that. And it starts at £3 a week, doesn't it, Johnny?
It does, and yeah, we've had it. Every time anyone signs up to Patreon, it's so lovely. So thank you so much to the people who have, and if you would like to support the pod, please do get in contact. Getting a call from my girlfriend.
are you going to take it?
Shall I take it?
Yeah, take it. This might be good podcasting.
Shall I put her on? I'm going to put on loudspeaker.
No, I really wouldn't, because what?
Sophie, you're on the podcast on loudspeaker.
You're joking. I thought
you were finished. No, we start...
Go on, you two, don't you?
Sean started half an hour late. Tell Sean off.
Oh, bloody hell. So what are you doing? Is the three of you on today?
Ellen is not on yet because we're doing the intro.
Oh, I see. Oh, right, okay. So I'm not on record now, am I?
No, you are, yeah. This is all on record. Yeah, we can edit it out if it needs to be.
I'm going to call you just to tell you that you need to pick the dog up. It's not riveting stuff, really.
All right, I'll pick the dog up.
All right, loads of love. All right, bye.
Bye. my girlfriend there, and I've got to pick up the dog.
Well, this is the first episode ever. We can say two guests, can't we?
Two guests, Mimi.
Two guest epic!
Two guests.
As we were saying, if you want to sign up to the Patreon, it is failingbetter.com/Patreon. Thank you to all our listeners. God bless you. And we are talking Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
With Eleanor Tiernan.
One of the best comedians in the game. Do go see her show if you're going to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Definitely see hers more than mine. She's on at the Gilded Balloon at 6:15, and I will be there.
I'm also hoping to come up, and I'll be at both of them, because they're both fantastic shows, and they're at the top of my to-do list.
What day are you coming up?
Well, I mean, to be honest, we looked at the prices, and we might not be able to make it up. It's so expensive. We're going to come from the last weekend, but probably the last weekend is all the comics are just totally dead, aren't they?
Yeah.
But it's the only weekend we can do because we live such busy, fun lives.
Oh, well, that's nice. Well, you've got a dog to get, so we'll get on the main episode with Ellen the Tiernan. Do come see my show as well if you want, listeners. And
it's a great show, yeah.
Thank you for 5-star reviews. Very useful. Thank you for signing up to the Patreon. And sorry for this episode so far. I'm sure it'll pick up. See you soon.
Bye.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, and welcome back to Failing Better. We're this week talking about the Edinburgh Festival and how to have a successful Edinburgh Festival. And for that, we've got, would you say royalty, Sean? Would you say podcast royalty?
I would say you're definitely a Failing Better podcast royalty. You're the first returning guest we've ever had.
It's Eleanor Tiernan. Woohoo!
Thank you. I feel great now.
I think you're the only thing that's ever got a round of applause on the podcast so far, so that must feel pretty special.
And this is the week where we've inexplicably got into the top 150 on the Irish comedy podcast charts. So what a perfect week for you to be here.
That's true, Eleanor. That's not even a weird xenophobic joke. We are in the
even if it wasn't true, I don't think it would be xenophobic.
No, but like, to be like, oh, we're doing well in Ireland, now we've got an Irish person, it feels a bit... How are you doing, Eleanor?
Clean up this mess that I've made.
How shocked are you that after all this time, because you were on one of our first episodes, we've yet to improve as hosts. In fact, if anything, we've got worse.
I think you've maintained your standard.
Never has such polite words been such a damning indictment.
Oh, God. I'm interested in the Irish podcast chart. You're 150th, so
I think we were 160 maybe. But great. I mean, look, all our fans are the Emerald Isle. Welcome aboard.
Who's like Blind Boy would be the big podcast over there, so you've got to.
I think we're going to aim to be bigger than Blind Boy by the fall. I think by the fall, we're going to try and get bigger than Blind Boy.
Have you appeared on Blind Boy's podcast?
I have not appeared on Blind Boys. No. I've famously taken a stand. I've said I'm with Johnny and Sean. Yeah, our Blind Boys.
Yeah, you're a failing better ultra. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Premium subscriber.
Oh, yeah. So we've got the Edinburgh Fringe coming up next week. As we record it, as you're listening to this, depending on when you're listening to it, but it comes out on Tuesday the 2nd of August, and my first show is Wednesday the 3rd of August.
Oh, so, my God. How are you feeling about it?
I'm not all right. Like, I am not ready for it. How do you feel about the Fringe in general, Eleanor? How are you feeling about it?
I always have very mixed feelings about the Fringe. This time, obviously, though, it's completely different because I don't feel I know what I'm getting into in terms of the pandemic. Mm. How's that going to change it? And how long it is. That's what that's my body is kind of reacting to what I'm going to do to it. I don't want to overstate it. I don't want to be, it's so awful. Us performers, we take on so much. But really, though, we're so heroic for doing it, aren't we? I don't want to be that guy. But yeah, it's going to be long, and you got to just embrace it. Do you?
I think you got to dig in. I mean, I'm going to take an opposite tack, because if you don't want to be the guy to say that you're a hero, let me just pick up that one, because I actually think it's very brave what I'm doing. it takes a lot of balls to go up to the Edinburgh Fringe and say I'm going to perform every night for a month when I've got a show that effectively does not exist. I think that's a very bold thing to do.
I've been up to Edinburgh before with a bad show, and it's the worst, because I knew at day two.
Yeah.
And you had a steaming pile of shit. And then the problem is, you can't just leave. You can't just be like, look, I've written a bad show, no one needs to see the show. You have to then flyer, advertise. Reviewers come and tell the world you've written a piece of shit. And like, yeah, look, I know it's shit. I'm there too.
Yeah, but you can't do that. You have to say, come and see my show every day for non-stop. Come and see my show.
And people you respect, you just say, look, just don't come. And they think you're being modest. And like, look, I'm not being modest. I don't want you to know how much I fucked this up. And you're spending thousands of pounds. I had a year that went so bad, I had to tell my PR, who I'd spent thousands of pounds to hire, to not let any reviewers in for the first week. like to say, don't do your job. I fucked this up. Yeah, it's awful.
Sean, can you see the freedom though Johnny has in the way he's saying this now? While you are now facing into a month of this ahead, and we have no such freedom. We've got to keep toe the line.
I feel like there is just such a weight on me. because of that feeling of like going, I genuinely have no idea whether my show is good or not. Normally I have a rough idea. This year I'm like, genuinely, this could be... I have absolutely no fucking idea. I have no idea how many people are going to come. I have no idea what clothes I'm going to wear. I don't know anything. I mean, to be honest, Johnny, I am jealous of you, but the bottom line is, you are going to have to trawl your ass back to Edinburgh one day.
you cannot
avoid this forever.
This podcast taking us to the top. I'm skipping Edinburgh. Can I just say, as an idea, Sean, this is just an idea, you don't have to go with it, just an idea, while I'm at Sean McLaughlin, fully naked. You can
call your show on stage.
Call your show Naked, Naked Sean, and it's you naked, and it's just you... 40 minutes in, you just start fiddling with your bits.
He's so brave. Do you see what he did?
God,
he's so brave.
What a hero. What a hero. But what do I do? What is the show exactly that you're suggesting? Is it still me, just my act? Is it me doing my joke?
Yeah, it's you talking about how China's sort of ending the supremacy of America, but you're just naked throughout the show. 40-minute mark, you start fiddling with your bits, and people talking about how vulnerable and sort of life-affirming the show was. Because for you to be naked, Sean...
I am telling you that the phrase life-affirming would not be anywhere near anyone's lips.
For you to be naked, Sean, is an incredibly brave political act. In my opinion, you naked, that takes balls.
Well, I honestly, I'm not just saying this, I can't think of an amount of money that I'd perform naked for. Like, I don't... I mean, would you? Would either of you ever perform...
No.
Have you ever... No.
What about £1 million?
No, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it for £1 million.
I'd do it. £1 million. That's life-changing money, baby. And the world gets to see my dick. It's a win-win.
Yeah, but unlike you, I'm not but showing people my dick anyway.
It's life-changing money, but it's not the kind of life-changing money you'd need after having performed on stage. Yeah. You need to be able to insulate yourself from any people who had seen that show, and £1 million isn't going to do...
I think you could sell it. You can sell it. You can be like, look, I want it to be raw. I want it to be vulnerable. I want it to show the human body in all its complexity, all its fragility, all its frailty. I think you can sell the naked show. You can win an Edinburgh Comedy Award and £1 million and let the world know that you've got a smashing bod.
I would say the thing is with £1 million is, I don't think £1 million would improve my life as much as showing everyone what I look like without clothes on would ruin it. Like, I think it would have to, we'd have to be in the sort of high billions, possibly trillions, in terms of the amount of money it would take to sort of outweigh how awful my life would be as a result of anyone knowing what I look like.
I think we do a crowdfunder to try and get you a trillion. I mean, you can be the richest man in the world, and you're just naked on it. That'd be good. That'd work.
All right. Look. Okay, Johnny. Yeah. Admit. Look, I said I didn't have a price. I admit, for £1 trillion, I will perform one stand-up show naked, okay?
There's 7 billion people in the world, is that right? So how much do we need from each person for this to club together to work? Like, that's quite a lot.
A grand each.
Yeah, yeah.
From everyone.
I think we can get that.
Have you got a grand spare, Johnny?
No. It's less, actually, I think. Might be a. Is it, how many people are in the world? 6 billion.
7 billion, I think, but.
Seven. So. No, it's only about £100. We can do that.
We can do that easy.
So you're going to get everyone in the world to give £100 so I can do one show naked. Do I have to do the whole run or just one performance?
No, I think the whole run is only fair. People need bang for their buck.
So you're going to get. Right. Right. That you understand that I'm in that amount of money. I'm in that 7 billion. I'm not paying for this. I'm not paying for that.
Well, everyone needs to give £100 and 1 pence to make up for you.
Yeah.
Of course. It's just steady maths. I appreciate that.
Well, that's exciting. But you're excited then. You're not excited. You're not looking forward to it at all.
I'm excited to see people. That's my main thing. I'm excited to see all the gang. You know what I mean? But it's quite loud up there. It's quite frustrating. You know, it's quite... it's a lot going on. But what venue are you in this year, Eleanor?
I'm in Gilded Balloon.
Oh, heaven.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah, yeah. Why are you saying that? Where are you?
I'm at the...
Sounds like you're going to say I'm in.
Sean's at the Pizza Hut.
The back room. Yeah.
I'm in a Pizza Hut in Dundee. Let's put it that way. I've got a long month ahead of me. I'm flyering in Edinburgh City Centre and I'm saying, look, if you want to come to my show, you're going to have to make a big financial commitment. I'm on at the world famous Pleasance Courtyard at 7:55 p.m. every night. Please come and see me.
That'd be nice.
Shall we explain what the Edinburgh Comedy Festival is to sort of people who listen abroad? Because we've got quite a lot of people in America who might have no idea what it is.
And Ireland.
An island.
Well,
there's loads of people in England who don't know what it is, and Scotland. There's probably no one in Edinburgh who doesn't know what it is. I think that's the one place we'd say that they probably know where it is.
So the Edinburgh Comedy Festival, what is it? It's like a month long festival where loads of comedians go up, loads of other artists go up and try and make it. They spend loads of their own money. Hardly any of them do make it, and it's terrible.
No, it's also the biggest. It's a great big arts festival. Like, there's a big jazz festival, big book festival, big comedy theatre. It's incredible. It is like an insane party, right? Wouldn't you describe it as that?
Yeah,
it's an insane party that goes on way too long. It is like one of those parties where it gets like 4 a.m. Someone on MDMA pulls out the sort of drums, and you're like, we have to go home now. But you can't go home. You've just got to stay there for a month.
Yeah, but you're not going this year, so there's not going to be that problem, that drum problem.
Yeah, that is a me problem. I just love drums, what can I say?
Dewpot.
It is a place, though, that I think we should say it fosters experimental comedy as well. I mean, it probably people will jump in and say, "Oh, it used to be better. It used to be the place where you could just go up and mess around for a month." But I think it still retains some element of that. So, like, I've seen incredible stuff up in Edinburgh that just made me go, yeah, that's why I do this, you know, some crazy yeah. Like, yeah, crazy performances that will just jolt you and be the thing that will cleanse your head a bit if you're feeling like you need that.
I like to see stuff that I know is much worse than me. It's tough. I don't tend to see that much.
But, yeah, you've got like one or two shows there and options.
Johnny!
Yeah.
Do you party a lot when you're up there, Eleanor? I was going to ask that. Do you hit the town?
No, not really. No, like I used to drink, so I'm not a drinker now. So it's kind of I'm kind of on the down low. Festival or no festival, anyway.
Is that right?
I don't really.
Is that right?
Yeah. But in the morning time, I really come into my own. you should see me. I'm the orange juice queen of Edinburgh.
What's your dream fringe morning? Let's just go through your dream fringe morning. Then we'll talk about how we're going to make. Johnny says he's got some help to make us have some great shows.
Yeah. Naked run around the meadows.
A naked run.
Yeah.
Nakedity has been a real theme in this.
Yeah. Roll in the grass. Some freshly squeezed orange juice, as I said. Pastries. A lot of pastries going on. Bump into a few comedians. Phil Ellis jumps to mind for some reason as somebody you'd want to bump into in the morning.
Especially if you're naked and you're holding a lot of pastries.
Yeah.
What do you think, if you bumped into a comic and you were naked and holding a lot of pastries, what do you think you would do? How do you think you would deal with that situation? Would you just try and phase it out, not reference the fact you're naked and got loads of pastries?
Or would you use the pastries to try and cover yourself up, maybe strategically some bits?
If you had an eclair, like a really long eclair, and then like a little...
What do you think they'd say? Do you know what? Because I think for me, it'd be... Like if I was naked and I had some pastries and I bumped into some comedians, I honestly, I don't know if this is ego or what, but I think the first thing they'd say is, "Oh my God, I can't believe he eats bread. He's so smell." Like, yeah. I think they'd be focused more on what I'm eating than... That joke absolutely flatlined.
I thought Eleanor was going to jump in. I think Eleanor thought I was going to jump in. So that was just a lovely.
Yeah.
What's lovely about that, Sean, is that committing to prepare you for the Edinburgh you've got coming up.
That absolutely. Honestly, I can't think of the last time I said something so obviously unfunny.
There's a beautiful moment when you do a joke and no one laughs, and there's just that beat, isn't there, when you think, right, they all know I've stopped talking. They all know they were meant to laugh in that space. They've not laughed.
Let me tell you about the panic as well, as I was saying that joke just now, listeners.
Joking, let's put inverted commas around the word joke.
We're having a laugh, aren't we? But I think the biggest problem for me was about halfway through saying it, I thought, this is taking a lot longer than I thought. So actually the stakes are going up and up and up and up. And so by the time I reached the end... I needed a standing ovation from both of you, or I was doomed.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, what?
I tell you what, I'm loving this. Just every time Sean speaks, just a little beat of silence, a little funeral march. It's really fun. I feel like it might be about to happen to me now when I end this sentence. So, how I'm going to counteract that is just by not stopping speaking. How is everyone else doing? Ask a question.
What?
I think the thing I've realised is we can't try and sabotage each other on every sentence, because otherwise the podcast will quickly descend into
Eleanor, would you like to host this episode?
Yeah, I want to ask you, Sean, I want to ask you, what's your show about? What have you been... What are you trying to...
Bloody good question, actually. Good question.
Tell me.
I don't really know. I don't know. Well, it's just stand-up, really.
Do you hope to know? Or is it...
I hope to know. I mean, I hope, yeah. Of course. You have to live in hope, Eleanor. I mean, it's basically just an hour. It's an hour of... It's probably the most pure hour of stand-up I've done. Like, there's...
Right.
Like, there are rough themes, but only... Like, I think it's... I try and just keeping it as gaggy as I can and sort of having big chunks. Because that's another thing. For people who don't know, a lot of Edinburgh Fringe stand-up shows have, like, a theme... Like, you know, they try and sort of sum up a big message or something at the end.
It's almost like there's a couple of directions you can go in. You can be like, okay, I'm going to set out a question at the start of my show and then use the material to debate the question. And at the end, send the audience away with a little takeaway, a little meaning. And then they can ruminate on that afterwards, or do what Sean's describing and be like, there's nothing. This is nihilistic, pure fun. I'm just going to gag after gag.
I don't know if I'd say it's nihilistic, pure fun.
I also didn't hear Sean say it's nothing, but I like that. Sean is going to do an hour of nothing nihilistically. That should be on your poster.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? What's your show about? Eleanor, I mean, we're obviously going to say it loads, but... What's your show called? Mm. What time? What's it about?
My show's at 6:15. It's called Away with the Fairies.
Great title. Love that title.
Thanks. It's in Gilded Balloon at 6:15 every day. Yeah. Please come.
And Gina, what is it about? What would you say it's about?
I only thought of this the other day, really, but what it's about is that I've had a load of things happen in my life. I'm realizing that on the face of it don't really suit the life of a comedian, and I don't think I'm trying to work out whether what's going to happen and whether I can I found the pandemic really made me really happy. Because I was like, I got a break from, and I was quite burnt out. But then now you've got to go back and be like a relentless worker again. And I'm a bit like, I don't know. I like sleeping too. Mm. So,
Well, I mean, luckily you've got a very calm month coming up. So I'm sure that's, you should take a leaf out of Johnny's book. He doesn't do gigs. He doesn't really do anything. I don't really understand how he pays his rent. He doesn't make any money. Surely isn't from this podcast, unless you're embezzling money from me, Johnny.
Just never look at the books, all right? Because those books have been cooked up pretty nicely for old Johnny P. I did my first gig in months on Tuesday. I really loved it. Got the old energy back, and I think I'm going to be doing a bit more comedy.
How many gigs have you got booked in then?
Two more.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Slow down, Hal Cruttendon. don't really know what that means. That sounds really good, Eleanor. You are one of the best comedians. You're one of the best ones. I think you're one of the best ones, actually. I'm going to come every day, I think. How would you be disappointed?
I like when you come.
Would you be disappointed if I came every day?
No, I take it.
Scared,
I turn it into a compliment. You don't.
You'd have
come,
to become,
yeah,
like a running.
Come every week.
Yeah, every
come
week,
once a
not
week
every
on a
day.
Monday.
Yeah. No, I'll come every day. I've decided I'm going to come every day. And not only that, I'm going to buy out every ticket in the venue, so it's just me and you. I just want that personal time. I really want to get inside the comedian's head.
So I've got How to Have a Successful Edinburgh.
Okay.
So the first idea is decide on a show concept. Obviously, your concept is to have no concept, quite meta.
No, Mr. actually, McLaughlin. No, I've changed that, actually. I think my concept is to put a smile on the face of every child on earth.
Every child on earth? What about sort of quite shit children? Do you want to make them happy?
Look, a child's a child. That's what I say. That's a phrase that, taken in isolation, could cause problems for me. But I'm just saying, every child on earth deserves a smile. And who would disagree with that?
What about a sandwich, though? You know, because some of them will be, like, poor and stuff. And, you know, a smile's great, but it won't really fix their poverty situation.
I don't know. I know exactly where you're coming from, but I sort of don't know if I have the money or the time to literally make every child in the world a sandwich. I mean, is that my goal? My goal in this Edinburgh show is to make every child in the world a sandwich. I don't think so. I think my goal has to be, I'll just give every child in the world a smile. So that's my vision.
How are you going to do that? Are you going to sort of get screens in every sort of city in the world? How are you going to reach every child to put a smile on their face? Or are you just going to bring so much joy into the room you're in that filters out in a sort of butterfly wing effect and sort of ends quite a lot of global conflict and, you know, makes every child happy through your jokes?
Yeah, word of mouth.
Word of mouth, yeah. So you're thinking Ghana, they'll be like, look, I know things are pretty bad, but you've got to hear this joke Sean McLaughlin told.
There once was a man from Nantucket.
He's very tall, and he's very silly. What's your concept for your show, Eleanor?
I'm just going to be in Ghana giving sandwiches to kids. No, the thing with the fringe is if we're going to like game it like the article is suggesting, we should be looking at what's the buzz topics everybody's talking about, you know. So really, you shouldn't even be doing a live show. You should be on TikTok, maybe. Ooh. Doing.
What's everyone? Well, I mean, what are the red hot? You've got to find a red hot zeitgeisty topic.
And you've got to
make it relate to you. I mean, that's the way to play the game, isn't it? That's the way to play the game.
Yeah, one of the Beckham's kids, like, they're kind of in the zeitgeist now, aren't they? They're
Brooklyn?
Beckham. Brooklyn and his missus. So them, something to do with them.
So we make a show about Brooklyn Beckham.
And what might we do a three-hander? Yeah. I'll come up for the run. We can call it Brooklyn Beckham, How Can I Become You? And it's all our different attempts to become Brooklyn Beckham.
I like the first idea of us three doing a three-hander. I don't know if we call it Brooklyn Beckham, How Do I Become You?
Hands up, I don't really know who Brooklyn Beckham is. I'm assuming he's David Beckham's son, but I don't know anything about him. Has he got a new girlfriend? Is he not eight? Yeah. In my head, he's eight. But presumably he's grown up a bit since then.
I think we need more than him. We've got to combine him with, like, you know,
Ukraine or something
else. Ukraine and what's the new food that everyone's having?
Yeah, there's got to be a new food, right? What's all this new food? I mean, not me. I'm just I'm a sausage and chips man. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Artichokes.
Is that what everyone's eating? Are everyone eating artichokes?
I've got into beetroot in quite a big way. Maybe we can be ahead of the curve. I'm loving beetroot at the moment. I'm putting it in salads. I was tempted just to eat a beetroot the other day. I thought, I can't do that. It's too weird. But I love beetroot. So maybe can beetroot be involved in somewhere? Brooklyn Beckham, beetroot, and Ukraine. We're going to the top.
We definitely have a purple poster.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great.
Purple, blue, and yellow.
I want to be talking about beetroot mainly. So I'll let Ukraine and Brooklyn Beckham to better comics than me.
All right. So basically, I didn't know that. One of us has to pick one of the topics.
Okay.
Right. So out of the three topics of Brooklyn Beckham, the war in Ukraine, and beetroot, Johnny's immediately gone in and go, it has to be beetroot for me.
Because I genuinely feel I've got a lot to talk about with my love affair with beetroot, so I can really hit, I'll open. I'm confident. Beetroot stuff is going to fucking kill, all right?
All right, Johnny, I'd love to, can you just give us a couple minutes of material from the beetroot section?
Beetroot, it's versatile. It's a bit like, it's a bit like an Allen key. You can use it for anything, and it always comes out well. Is that good? I fucking love beetroot, and I love Allen keys. Argos is weird, isn't it? Why have they done their shop like that? It doesn't make any sense. Everyone else has done their shop in one way. Argos has done it in a different way. What the fuck, man? I love beetroot. Do you think that's good?
Do you know what, Johnny? You're absolutely right. It's killer stuff.
That's exactly what the person who wrote the article was hoping. would happen. I'm gonna do loads of talk about Brooklyn Beckham, but the, like callbacks to Beatles.
Very nice. That's perfect. So, that's
that
perfect.
Is perfect. And then yeah. Sean's left with Ukraine.
the closure of the gig. 20 minutes about Ukraine.
Yeah.
Just God bless him. God bless him. That's all I'd say.
Just God bless him for 20
minutes. God bless him. All right, what's the next thing on the article, Johnny? I'm starting to feel like our triple hand is coming together.
Reach out to producers. Well, I think, I mean, any producer will want this sort of barrage of fun. It's the Beetroot Beckham and Ukraine show. Come for the advice about how beetroot can enliven your salad. Stay for Sean's heartwarming and important message about Ukraine.
I've actually self-produced the majority of my Edinburgh Fringe shows. That's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. And it is very rewarding to self-produce, but Christ alive, it is a lot of work. Have you self-produced, Eleanor?
Always, yeah. And you're never obviously like Every bad decision is yours to own.
Says a lot about me. Yeah. Never self-produce once.
I mean, if you were to self-produce, Johnny, do you even know would you even know how to get like a venue?
Day one, I'd just be in a bin with my flyers. I'd climb into a bin and I'd just go to sleep there and then wake up in the morning and think I'm off home.
No, you wouldn't, because you'd have to be on and go and do the show.
Yeah, you have to do the show.
I wouldn't do the show. I'd self-produce. I'd be like, look, I'm producing this show. We're not doing the show.
The show is flopped. We're out.
Day one, I'm in a bin. And day two, I've gone back home.
What do you think happens if you just say, I'm not doing it anymore and just go home? What happens?
I don't know. I mean,
people must do it.
You lose a lot of money, yeah. I guess. Like, you'd lose thousands and thousands.
Yeah.
Like, for example,
don't you lose thousands anyway?
That's true.
That doesn't seem that bad.
Nah.
Yeah, at least you're losing thousands in the comfort of your home. You don't have to go on stage and make jokes about beetroot in Ukraine for a fucking month. All right, what's the next one, Johnny? What's the next thing?
The next thing is start saving money / have a budget.
already too late for that one, I'm afraid. Horses
we should have thought of that.
I am
3 years ago.
I'm very bad at with money. I feel like I'm trying to get money sorted in my life, and I'm so bad at it. I keep getting bills through that I just haven't paid, and so they all have like the bailiffs are coming now, and it's quite scary.
Have you got bailiffs on you?
Well, we've paid off all our debts now, but we just didn't open our mail. I don't really know why that happened until we opened them and like, by the way, guys, we've been emailing you and try and get hold of you for a while now.
Oh, is this like utility stuff? Like,
I thought we were getting gas and electric from EDF. Turns out we have a completely different supplier for electric and I hadn't paid them for 10 months. Were they happy about that? No, they were not.
So, what have you been doing? I've been building up this incredible new set about beetroot for the Edinburgh Festival.
That's amazing. I'm terrified of being behind on money. So I'm
always fine. It's quite relaxing to just be financially fucked sometimes. You know, you look and think, well, I mean, I just have no way of paying this.
Yeah, you seem like a very chilled out guy. I still don't know how to unsubscribe from The Athletic. I've literally been trying to do it for a year, and every time I do it, and I've sent them messages and stuff, and every month just goes, £7 has come out of your account. I go, I don't even read it. I don't want it. I hate this.
Oh, man.
I don't have a budget.
It says, hire a publicist / hire a street team. Well, you guys, have you got flyers out there?
I'm going to have flyers. I don't have a publicist. I got a big poster. I'd never done that before.
Oh, you got a big poster? Where's it? Do you know where it is?
I think it's on Cowgate.
I
know. That's a big step for me.
Just to clarify, is this for the Beetroot Ukraine Beckham show, or is it for your other Edinburgh show?
My other Edinburgh show's not happening anymore. I've just... I've just been won over.
I was actually thinking, guys, I'm glad we could talk about this now. I was thinking for the triple header, the Beetroot Beckham and Ukraine show, I was thinking we don't even need posters, because I think if we could just, you know, like in Batman where they have that thing they shoot into the sky.
Yeah.
It's a bat signal.
Yes.
I think we just shoot our flyer.
Yeah.
No, it's not a symbol. I think it's just a flyer.
I think it's a symbol, and I think the symbol is Vladimir Putin with beetroot-like cheeks, and he's looking at Brooklyn Beckham, and he's a bit scared. I mean, that's our shot is, and what we're saying is all comedy will bring down Putin, and I think it will if we really work on our ending. We can really nail this.
Yeah. As long as the guy who has the last 20 minutes really gets it right.
Yeah. And who's that again?
Yeah.
It is me. It is me. But I mean, you'd have set them up so well with your two sets that, you know, I'll just have to bring it home.
What do you think you're going to say about Brooklyn Beckham, Eleanor? Do you have any sort of zingers waiting?
I'd say I'll probably talk a lot about his life in LA and how that must
be. That's good.
Very good. And then growing up with a famous mum and dad, that obviously must create some kind of hairy situations for a teenager.
Are you going to mention Argos at all? Are you going to mention Argos?
Probably. Yeah. I'm sure he goes to Argos.
It is it's a funny shot.
And Sean, what are you going to say to sort of rally the Ukrainian people and sort of end the domination of Russia in the war?
Well, I think you know, let's read a few more Edinburgh tips because, you know, we've heard yours at the beginning of the episode. Eleanor's is here. I think let's wait a little bit and then I'll sort of... I don't want to give too much. I don't want to end the war before the run.
that would be a nightmare.
Then what is the show? It's just Beetroot and Beckham. There's nothing.
I think that's really funny. Someone had a great joke about Robert Mugabe, and then Robert Mugabe died, and there was a bit of him like, oh fuck. I've got to cancel my Mugabe joke now.
Is that not true with Boris Johnson being resigned this year, that a lot of people will have had to change material?
I think a lot
of stuff written.
A lot of people, yeah. Not me, because I'm just still ploughing the John Major line, you know. I'm talking about old prime ministers.
And then it says network and the industry hangouts. Do you ever network? Are you networkers?
No.
This is networking, though. No, I think this is an industry hangout.
Networking with comedians. That's the thing. I think like it's the main stuff that I've enjoyed doing in career wise has always been from knowing other comedians and them asking you and you asking them, so that's the best kind of networking.
Maybe the real networking is the friends you make along the way, eh, Johnny?
Well, no, I think if you can get into the right rooms you can make a lot of good meeting.
All right, Johnny, let's do an act out then. Me and Eleanor are a couple of high-flying TV executives. You've managed to somehow get into one of the artist bars.
Yeah, I'm there banging on them. Let me in!
and you need to try and sell us on a TV adaptation of your triple header. So let's do it. Are you okay doing a little act out, Eleanor? Let's see if this works.
Yeah.
I'm just curious because Johnny seems to be a very good networker.
I'm incredibly good. I would say I'm astute when it comes to networking.
Perfect. So we're here we go.
So how are you guys? Are you well?
Oh, exhausted. Oh my God, I've been seeing so many shows today. I was at the show this morning and then I went and had another show this afternoon. And just so tired now. I saw so many shows.
I'm so tired I can barely do this cocaine, but we're both doing it. We love it.
I know, yeah.
You know what, guys? Yeah. If you're tired and love cocaine, you're going to love beetroot. It's this new sort of thing.
What are you doing? Who are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Johnny. I'm actually Johnny Pell.
You're the beetroot man,
you probably would have heard of me from almost ending the Ukraine and Russia war. We've not done it yet because the show's still sort of going on, but by the end of the festival we're going to have ended that. Question mark, stepping out of the bit, is it sort of offensive to be talking this flippantly about a war that's killed thousands?
Well, I suppose the key thing is that we're not talking about it, we're deliberately trying to avoid it.
Are we?
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Right. I wouldn't imagine it's a good thing to do.
Viewers, you decide. Has this crossed an ethical boundary? Back into the pit.
Yeah.
Yeah. The show. You've probably heard about it. It's been getting loads of one-star reviews, but and it's called. It's called Featuring Beckham and the Tyranny of the Russian Oppression. And it's a show which you can't really describe until you've seen it, do you know what I mean?
Okay, can you try and describe it though?
Yeah, we don't go to shows. Yeah.
If MDMA could speak, right? That's really what the show is. It's just pure pleasure. It's a joyful experience. Your heart starts to race. You start to sort of wonder why you're not touching people.
I quite like that, actually. Yeah. I think that's if MDMA could speak. Tell us more. What stars do you see being in this show? Who are they?
Well, if MDMA could speak, it'd probably say, "Fucking hell, I love Pete Drew, I love Beckham, and I love peace." And that is the message of our show. And I'm imagining for Brooklyn Beckham, Danny DeVito. I think he'd be the perfect character to play that role. And then for Beetroot, I'm imagining Anne Hathaway. Anne Hathaway plays Beetroot. And
when you say plays Beetroot, can I just ask, is this a character called Beetroot, or is it just a piece of Beetroot, or is it just the concept of Beetroot?
I think it's probably... I'm going to surprise you here when I say Sean, it's all three. There's a character called Beetroot, there's a piece of Beetroot, and it's a concept of Beetroot. Because really the concept...
Sean, didn't you just commission something, though, that had...
Do you know what? She's right. I'm so sorry, Johnny. We just your show sounds great, but we just commissioned something that sounds very similar to this. It's called Turnips, Cruise, Better, Beckham, and More Peace.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. We're happy to change. Would you like? I mean, we'd do anything really. Fuck Beetroot, fuck Beckham, and if you want, we can support Russia.
Okay, I think this ad lib is over.
Yeah.
So do you think I was good at networking then? It felt like I made some real impression on you, I thought.
Certainly, you certainly did.
Doors are open, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, would you feel so far that you're learning a lot about how to put on an Edinburgh Fringe show? I feel like I'm coming out of this with even less confidence than I went into it, and that is saying something.
Well, I can imagine how once you've had the concept of Beetroot, Beckham and Peace, then your shows, I mean, it's just a... I've seen your show, Sean, and let's be honest, it's compared to this, it's a steaming pile of shit. So I can really see why you'd be anxious now.
Johnny, you have seen my show. Well, you've seen the early version of it. It's much changed now. Much changed.
I'm going to put... Look, let's cast aside our wit for one second. It's going to be difficult. No.
Let's cast aside. As we did last week, we cast it aside so far, we've yet to be able to reach and bring it back.
Yeah. I mean, the home of witty banter is... We've been homeless for a while now, if I'm honest. But what I'd say, Sean's show was magnificent. Sean's a fantastic comic. Mm. I mean, he doesn't come across in this podcast, but I don't know what we do about that. It feels like the form's letting him down. Truly a great comedian. Ellen is fantastic too. I would if you're up there for one day, you can only see two shows. To be honest, I'd say Kitson and Stuart Lee. But if you're up there for a while, you know, you've sort of into the mid sort of table sort of stuff. Sean and Ellen, they're your people.
I absolutely hate doing this podcast with you, brother. It's ruined my life.
I think,
but if your show's at 6:15, Eleanor,
yeah,
and my show's at 7:55, I mean that is a perfect double header. I think.
I think you'd have a great, you'd have a genuinely wonderful time. Two fantastic comics. Eleanor, you directed my second show. That's how highly I grate Eleanor.
That's how highly you great Eleanor. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. Is that the show that was the terrible year that you had that you described?
No, that was my show.
No.
Called, I'm trying to think of another. It's called Radishes. It's all about radishes, that show.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think this is going to be perfect. Eleanor, you should know, by the way, because I saw your last Edinburgh Fringe show, and then I remember I sent my dad to see it, and he said you were his favourite.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
If your dad is an audience member,
he's a good laugher. He's a bloody good laugher. Yeah. But he's a pretty loud booer, as I found out.
He doesn't mince his words.
Well, I mean, I feel like we've learnt a lot here, Johnny.
I think it's been a really good episode of podcasting.
Look, if you're an aspiring artist and you want to take a show to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, you just got to... I hope it's helped you out more. I don't know, anything else you want to add to all our great listeners?
Sorry, no.
Well, we've broken Eleanor.
Well, we've really dragged you down to our level. We're very sorry about that.
Eleanor, yeah. I'm sorry. Look, Eleanor, you should go see Eleanor. Go see Sean. They are both good human beings. Very funny. But really, you should come and see the triple header, which will be at the Pleasance Grand. You know what? We're here in Edinburgh all year round. From August the 1st to July the 31st, we're going to be at the Pleasance Grand with Beatrice Beckham and Pace.
A podcast from producerpaul.co.uk.
Well, I'm so sorry about that, Eleanor.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.